All right, so we welcome back to the program. We're just starting it over and pretending no one's listening. This is now we're going into our podcast phase, and with a podcast, you have a little voice that goes. And now we're going to join Tom Drake and Dottie Klasse and Josh Owey as he discusses his journey from his start at McKeesport Daily News onward to the Pittsburgh Post.
The Tribune Review.
Now, all right, let's start. Athletic, yeah. Let's start there. What's the difference between the Post Gazette and the Tribune Review? What was one better than the other?
Well, those were the two rival newspapers for a long time. I guess they kind of still are, even though the newspaper business is fading a little bit.
Yeah.
The Tribune Review is not as big as it was. It used to be all of Pittsburgh, and now I think it's more Greensburg-based, which is a town east of Pittsburgh. But yeah, when I started with the newspapers, that was the big rivalry. The Post-Gazette was kind of the longtime mainstay of Pittsburgh, kind of the union newspaper, right? And the Trib was owned by a guy named Richard Mellon Scaife, who was a very well-known conservative guy, hated Clinton. So the Trib became the very conservative paper, and the Post-Gazette the very left-wing paper. And people kind of picked their sides. But I was a sports writer, so I really didn't care about any of that stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, you didn't have to only write about the skaters on the right side of the ice, right?
I didn't favor the right wings over the left wings. It wasn't like that at all.
My interviews, conversations are all over the map. Do you run it in hockey? Josh has been covering the Penguins for how many years now?
Oh, my gosh, 11?
11 years. Yeah. Do you run into players that have, you know, like in basketball, Steph Curry won't shut up, right? They just will do Steve Nash, the coach of the Warriors.
Oh, Steve Kerr.
Steve Curry won't shut up.
Right.
The whack job from it's not Utah Jazz, the other one out there. He's always commenting on politics. You don't see that or hear that in hockey.
Hockey people are very reserved when it comes to that. And I'll tell you another thing, in my experience, talking with some players about politics, they tend to lean to the right a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, they might be afraid to be a little more vocal. I think, at least from the media standpoint, it seems a little more socially acceptable to, if you're left-wing, to just... Yeah. And most hockey players, these are millionaires. These are guys with a lot of money. It's more of a financial thing than a social thing, I think.
Well, and a lot of them come from a country where you didn't say anything. Keep your mouth shut.
That's,
you know?
Yeah. No, there's no doubt. But I find the American players particularly tend to be very conservative leaning.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of Trump supporters. They never vocalize that publicly, but I would see a MAGA hat here and there in their lockers. Right? Like, you better keep that quiet. You're going to be in trouble.
You're getting hammered. I forgot it.
We'd lose fans for sure.
I'm going to add it in tomorrow. Johnny Cass singing I Walk the Line. And every time I say something that I know I just... did it. I will hit that button and go, okay, let's move on. So you're in grammar school when you started writing or high school when you started writing and liked it? That's the key.
Well,
likes it?
I'll tell you this. It was in high school. You don't know this about me, but I can actually show you my family tree if you don't believe me. In fact, my middle name is Clemens. Do you know why? You don't know why.
Clarence?
Because Mark Twain's real name is Samuel Clemens.
Sure.
And he's a cousin. I'm actually related to him.
Wow.
Yeah. So, not that I write like Mark Twain, but maybe it was a little genetic, I don't know. But So when I got to high school, I just liked it, you know, and I took this writing class. I'll never forget it. It was my junior year of high school, and the teacher's name was John Walsh, really nice guy. And I wrote this piece. It was on the Steelers, actually. Dottie always has her Steelers stuff on every time I see her. And he thought it was too good. He thought I didn't write it. So he called my mom at work. She was a postal carrier, and he said, Mrs. Yowie, I don't mean to alarm you, but your son wrote this piece for my class yesterday, and I don't think he wrote it. I think he plagiarized it, and I'm concerned about this. And my mom said, well, you know, I sat there and watched him write it on the computer last night, so I know he wrote it. So the next day in the writing class, classes are about 45 minutes long or whatever, he gave me an assignment. I don't even remember what it was. He said, I just want you to write about this for the next half hour, and at the end of class, I want to see what you write. Said, okay. So I knew what was going on because my mom said, hey, your teacher.
Yeah.
So I wrote it. And he told me to stick around after class for a minute. He read it. He put his arm around me. He said, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have called your mother. You have a real future in this business.
Just
said, don't ever change your style. Just keep writing the way you write. I said, okay.
Wow.
So we were always pals after that, after the accusatory actions.
I just was never... shouldn't be about me anyway, but I can't remember in high school anybody saying, good job.
Oh, I didn't get it very often. That's why I remember the story. Yeah.
I mostly got, go see the principal.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
No, not one bit. They said, what are you going to be when you grow up? I'm never growing up. That's it. So when you went to college, and you told me the college off air, and I forgot it already because of
Point
eating.
Park.
Point
yeah.
Park. Do you know where Point Park is?
Pittsburgh, yeah.
Downtown, yeah. Mm-hmm. And what happened, when I was there, I didn't really like college that much, to be honest with you, but I worked part-time for a newspaper. It's called the Valley Independent, which is in Manesson.
Yes.
The Mon Valley River town, about, I don't know, 15 or 20 miles away from downtown Pittsburgh. And so that was really where I started covering high school sports, just part-time. I'd go to college during the day, and at night I would go cover a high school football game or basketball, whatever. And while I was working there, I met somebody named Mark Cabali, who I know is a regular on your show.
Wow.
He, Mark's about 5 or 6 years older than me, and he then later moved on to the McKeesport Daily News. And when there was a job opening there when I was done with college, I interviewed. He told me about it. And then in classic Mark fashion, he calls me at home a couple days later. He said, oh, I'm real sorry to let you know you didn't get the job. I was like, then there was silence for 5 seconds. I'm just messing with you. Oh, thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Yep, appreciate that. But
I picked on the McKeesport Daily News as a joke, but that was a great day when you went from the independent, which wasn't the penny saver, but it was like a quarter saver,
right?
To a big newspaper.
Yeah, and it was my first full time job, yeah. and Dottie will tell you, the Daily News was winding down when I started there in 2004. But back, I bet when you were growing up, that was a big deal, right?
It was a huge paper.
It was.
Huge paper. No, it had when I went out on it's to see. My father literally got a subscription for mm-hmm. me, and it was sent to me. I was based in San Juan, so we got mail once a week. I would get 6 papers every week to catch up on what was going on back home.
Thank God for the internet now, huh?
Yeah, and there was a time, I think the circulation was more than 50,000 at one point for the Daily News. It was,
I wouldn't doubt
no, it was a fairly big newspaper, yeah.
That's when you paid for the subscription. They had lots of advertising. And obviously, the digital world has really put a hurting on the mainstream newspapers, you know, the New York Post, I read it every day. It's not a subscription. It's free. The Daily News wants you to pay for it.
Right.
No. And I say it many times, the Daily News, the entire paper sold for $1. So they want me to spend $1 a week to read it. You only bought the paper for $1. They bought it for $1 plus debt. So for the rich guys.
Yeah. Well, newspapers are, you know, it's been a rough time for newspapers and for McKeesport. It's what happened in the 70s. The mills closed.
Yeah.
McKeesport was a mill town, a river town, and the economy really started to hurt in the 80s, and that's what happened to the Daily News.
Did you only write about sports, or did you write news, too?
I'm a very limited human being. It was always sports.
Always sports.
Nothing wrong with that. But you didn't. They didn't say, "Yo, the guy writing obituaries is on vacation, so you have to write an obituary where you start." Well,
you know, I would have if they would have asked, but they never really did.
That's pretty.
And sometimes news and sports can kind of intersect. Sure. Like I would go to council meetings or stuff if a coach was going to be fired, which was normally a thing a news writer would go to. So, but yeah, from the time I was little, I just loved sports so much. And, you know, I was raised by a single mother, actually, and my dad's not a sports fan at all. He doesn't care about sports, but my mom was the sports lover.
Really?
You know, she was taking me to Pirates games when I was 5 years old and took me to my first Penguin game when I was 6. So really it was her influence. So I kind of, you know, everybody wants to be an athlete. I was a pretty good baseball player, but I kind of realized, I don't think I'm going to be a millionaire in the major leagues anytime soon.
Yeah.
So how can I kind of merge the two? I love sports, and I kind of like to write. I thought I was good at it, and it made me feel good. I liked it, so it was the best way I could merge the two, I guess.
I never want these to be about me, but I write because I have to write, but I don't, I, you know, but it's like I got to sit down and write. Part of it is because did you take a typing class?
In high school we had to. I wasn't very good at it, actually.
Yeah.
But teacher hated me, yeah.
Do you dictate your story to something and then do you type it?
I usually type it. When I was young, I actually liked to write it out better. I felt like I thought better when I was writing. But the more technology came into play and you started typing up everything, it just became more second nature. So now I never.
Yeah.
I barely have a notebook. I'm the only reporter who doesn't have a notebook or a pen in his house ever. I can never find a pen.
Do you record it?
Sometimes.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Someone told me one time, start composing on a typewriter. I'm like, are you kidding? This was back typewriters
right.
when I was in school. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I've got to write it out. But it's so much easier typing. And now, obviously, with computers, that even makes it better.
Yeah, I'm a terrible typer. And I think that's what I hate about it. And I have that dragon dictation system. I just haven't trained it. You have to train it. And I used to joke and act about that. You know, I had the first one and it was the Jersey version, mm-hmm. you know, and I was sending a letter and I put, I said, Dear Sirs, and it typed out, Yo, Jerkweed. It was a complete, hello, where's the rim shot on that one? Thank you very much.
Now, did you always write about all sports, or did you hone in on one sport back then?
You know, no, it was all sports. And when I worked in McKee Sport, it was, you know, high school football, basketball, you name it. I didn't really write about hockey that much, but I always liked it. And so at the time, Mark covered the Steelers, and we could cover the Pirates whenever we wanted, but we never covered the Penguins. And I said to Mark, I said, I think we should cover the Penguins too. They just got this 18-year-old kid, this Crosby kid.
Yeah,
it was in 2005. I said, we should probably, you know, mention him. There's going to be people interested. So I started kind of going on my own. Like, I would get my McKee Sport responsibilities done, and then I would cover the Penguins at night just to kind of get my name out there, and I just enjoyed being there, frankly. Yeah. And that's when the Tribune Review then bought the McKee Sport Daily News in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of years later, they said, hey, we like your stuff. Do you want to start writing hockey for the Trib? I said, well, I love McKee Sport, but sure.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was the most fun time of my life working in McKee Sport. It was. I grew to love the people there. We had a lot of great times, but financially speaking, it just wasn't going to cut it.
Yeah. Was he the sports editor?
He was.
No
kidding. He was my boss. He still acts like it, too. It's terrible.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, but you brought him over to the Athletic.
That's right.
He's the boss. I have to ask in McKee Sport, when you went for lunch, did you ever go over to Sam's? For hot dogs?
I've been to Sam's, yes.
The best chili dogs ever. My mom worked there when she was a young girl. Like when she was 15 years old, the hot dogs were a nickel.
That's probably changed. But there are many good spots in the McKee Sport area. But I grew just like Dottie. Everybody there is so humble and likable. And I always have a bottle of wine around. Yeah, that's McKee Sport, right?
Yeah,
it
is. Nice way to live. By the way, I want to mention...
There's a bar down the street. Yeah,
I want to mention, it's not up on the website, but it'll be on the website a little bit later. Josh writes for theathletic.com, easily to put on your browser, theathletic.com. And if you are a true sports fan, really a true sports fan, the writers are amazing. Some of the best, and part of the reason is the newspapers started to shrink down. Mm-hmm. And even ESPN, they're looking for entry-level people because they have other bills to pay. So some of the finest are now writing. I'm thinking of Ken, what's his name from the Fox?
Rosenthal.
Yeah, Ken Rosenthal. A lot of people. And it's very inexpensive. I have a subscription, and it's worth it. And I don't get to read it as much as I would like to, but the articles are much more detail than you get from from an ESPN or even a newspaper, because there isn't. Do you have a word limit from your editor?
No, I don't believe they've ever given us one, in fact. And yeah, you can keep track of your New York Jets. Maybe that's why you haven't been reading much lately.
No, I just
you're a little depressed.
Listen, as you know, I dumped just about everything I was working on, so I would have. Yeah, thank you. I used to have that here. I wonder if I still have it. There you go. Sorry, it was a little loud. Huh?
It was very loud.
That's for Cole. Everything's for Cole today.
No word limit, though. No, that's one of the things I love. It's kind of a, if you're a writer, you appreciate that. With newspapers, they just want the nuts and bolts and facts and very boring. We all have a creative side, right? And I think people want to read that, too. So at The Athletic, they said, hey, when the Penguins make a trade, you don't have to run to your computer and type up an article. Take a couple of hours, get it right, make it as long as you need to. And I think readers obviously have responded to The Athletic. We have so many subscribing. Yeah. We're getting close to 1 million subscribers. I don't know what the...
Really?
I know it was over 500,000 last year. I don't know exactly what the number is.
Good
but
for
it's,
you.
It's up there, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when I wrote very little. My degree is in journalism, but with a concentration in PR, and I went to the PR side. Mm-hmm. I had to write in college for the college newspaper and the local newspaper. I would write every now and then just to, you know, for the experience.
Sure.
My challenge that I really enjoyed was writing the headlines, because back then you had to have, you only had so much space and you had to make the most concise headline.
Right.
And if you didn't, it didn't fit.
Yeah.
So that's what I liked about doing.
I like writing headlines, but yeah. Kabali always said I was horrible at it. But really? He said I would just, he would get mad when we had to lay out pages. I would just use really big pictures, so it would not as much work to do in the rest of the page. He'd say, it looks like the JFK just got shot and it's like a high school basketball game. What are you doing? That was less work. I liked it.
Remember that in the layout days. I'm just trying to remember. On your articles, do you have headlines on Athletic or just?
Yeah. We do still headlines, but it's
not
like
restricted by space.
Well, right. Not plus newspapers. The headline has to grab you. With the Athletic, you're going there because you really want to know everything that's going with the Penguins.
You know what though? It's changed. You're right, but the headlines now. They want the first three words to be really catchy. You know why? Because when people do Google searches, they want it to be the first thing that pops up. It's a whole new world. It's out of my realm a little bit, but I've tried to train. And we have people who...
Tom's an expert at that.
He's an expert at everything. I know.
That's called SEO. Yeah, thank you.
Search engine optimization.
That's SEO. I'm SOL. That's my problem. I haven't figured out the SEO. I'm good at the SOL. Because the New York Post headline writers... are some of the best.
Oh, they're the best.
That nobody gets it done like the Post.
No.
It's such, I look forward to every day going online and opening the Post up because I know, first of all, there's fodder in there, to say the least. When you go then, you haven't last season watched many hockey games there. You watched them on TV. Is the view, when you're in the press box at a hockey game, you see other things happening, like on the bench and in the corner, if the camera's not covering it. So did you have to then invent them since you couldn't see them? No one would know, because if they didn't see it on TV and you didn't see it on TV, who would know it didn't happen?
You know, it's funny. I'm still there for some of the games. Yeah. It's kind of, but some we have to watch on TV now. And, you do see things in person. If somebody messes up on the ice, I love looking at the Penguins coach to see if he gets mad or not.
Yeah.
Little stuff like that.
Yeah.
TV's not typically going to show you that, and it does make a difference for sure.
Yeah.
And boy, the worst thing about being at games right now, they have this fake fan noise, and they do it for television.
Yeah.
Which I understand, because it's hard watching sports with no fans. But in person, it sounds like there's bees buzzing over my head. I feel paranoid sitting there watching. It's really annoying.
Kind of like what Sidney Crosby felt like after the first concussion.
Just probably.
You're right, though. For TV, we watched it. Sidney Crosby's 1,000 game. Mm-hmm. And it was depressing. There wasn't anybody there to cheer him on, you know?
Oh,
I mean, there was like 32 guys banging their stick, but that's another cold story, probably. How many people on a hockey team? Anyway, how many? They have lines, right?
There's usually 20 players can draw. Usually there's about 23 or 24 total, but only 20 are allowed to dress per game.
And there are how many per line? Five per line?
There's three. There's five on the ice at one time. There's three forwards and two defensemen. So,
Now, you're writing. You're at a good spot now. I asked Mark Caboli about this, why he's not doing more television, more media-type thing. He said he didn't look good on television. But I saw, I have a clip of you with a headset on doing some on-air stuff for somebody, correct?
Yeah, I do it sometimes. In fact, Mark and I both appear on KDK television in Pittsburgh on a Sunday night show sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, we go on, and I'm on the radio a good bit throughout the week.
And
I mean, it's always good for your career to have your name out there a little bit. It's good for the website for people to be familiar. And, who knows? And Mark's more handsome than he gives himself credit for, of course. But he's listening right now, I'm sure. So I'm just trying to make him feel good, you know. He's a big listener, I know. He's texting me right now. I know he's listening.
Well, now that John's gone, you know, it's a different kind of show. And this is our first day. So, you know, I have to, it's like writing. That's a question. When you're writing, when you're finished, go, oh, that's too many words. I got to take it out.
Yeah.
Because people are like, look, I want to know what's going on with the Penguins, but I don't want to know all the way down to their web feet or whatever.
I don't know how it is for you when you're doing a comedy show on a cruise ship. I bet you're your own worst critic probably. And that's how I am. I very seldom do I say, oh, man, that was a good article.
Yeah.
Every now and then.
For us, for comics, it's you don't want a lot of words. You want to get to the joke, because if you tell a long story and it's a bad punchline, It's a long night.
Well, and that can be the problem when we don't have any word limit, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes you could.
That's right, yeah.
I'll be 2 a.m. like, Josh, go to bed. This is too much already. Oh, yeah, that absolutely. That is something we can all be guilty of, I think.
And
sure.
Me coming from Jersey, I take the approach, how can I say it with as few words as possible so I can get this done and go do something more fun? But it really is something.
When you used to go to the sporting events, did you have a press pass?
Mm-hmm. Still does.
So you can get into any sporting event with that press pass?
You know, every league's different. With the Penguins, I mean, in hockey, yeah. All I have
can
to
we
do
get
is...
press passes for the big broadcast? Yeah. Or the Tom Drake show?
That's the first time.
You know, the best one is Major League Baseball is the best. If you cover the Pirates, they give you an MLB pass, and you can go get into Yankee Stadium the next day if you want anybody. Wow. You know, with hockey, all I have to do is email the PR director, and they, as long as I haven't written anything that makes them mad, I never have any problems.
Oh, we need press passes.
For where?
For wherever we want to go, whatever game we want to go to.
What game is around here?
Well, I'm not.
I'll get the audio. Right, I don't know about you.
Yeah. Not right this minute.
We should just move back to McKeesport.
No.
How about West Mifflin?
No.
Cole could come visit. It'd be fine.
How about Duquesne?
No.
Oh, God. No.
No.
See, that's a very inside joke for anybody I happen to know, because I married a Yinzer. Mm-hmm. I just know that's an area you drive through really fast. I know this, too. I know this. It's 12 o'clock.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Fast. Yeah, it flew by. I didn't get half of what I wanted in terms of the questions, but I do know that. So let's do this. You went from the McKeesport Daily News for how many years?
Ooh, I was there for 5 years.
And then up to the...
At the Trib for about 5 years.
5 years. And then, so you went to the Athletic before Mr. Coboli went to the Athletic.
A couple of months before.
When you left there, did he say, like, you're making a mistake?
No.
He was good move.
Well, we actually left real quick. We were at the Trib. We actually worked for another website for a couple of years, DKPittsburghSports.com, it was called.
Okay.
A guy named Dejan Kovacevic, who started his own website and was successful. And so we went there for a couple of years.
Okay.
But the Athletic was just, frankly, paying a lot more money. And So I went there, started in September of 2017. Then Mark started about a month later, I think.
Did you submit for that, or somebody saw your writing and said this?
No, they came to me, which is always a good
feeling.
Very
nice, huh?
I said, oh, I was in St. Louis at the airport, and I was looking at my phone like, oh, wow. What's this?
I've never been headhunted. Were you ever headhunted?
I don't think I was, no.
I'm at the point where it'd be nice to be, just before I die, just somebody to hunt my
head. Well, when I left the hospital, when I was director of PR for McKeesport Hospital, I had left... Just decided that's it. I'll find something else to do. I had two nonprofits, like, really aggressively offer me jobs. Yeah. And I thought,
nice.
I just didn't want to get into nonprofit. And, well, the next day I got the job from the hospital, or from on cruise ships anyway. So that was fine.
Well, you did get into nonprofit eventually.
Yeah.
You've been on this show for the last 8 months. Now, I know that I did this while we were listening to the others. Oh, this is so frustrating. This will not happen tomorrow.
Cole?
This will not
happen. We're not going to mention your name
this
tomorrow.
This will not
Cole.
Happen tomorrow. Tomorrow, this show will be tight. Today, I feel like Andrew Cuomo at a nursing home. I got the line in. I wanted to use that.
We didn't take a break for you to play the second song.
No, we're going to play the show out with it.
Oh, okay.
Once I get it set up here. I think it's going to work, so. But we'll have a couple more questions because we're going to lunch.
I know you are.
Yeah, but first let me say thank you to all the people that joined us starting at 10 o'clock this morning and stayed with us the whole way. We didn't have huge numbers, but we had very loyal numbers. Everybody stuck around. I'll be honest with you, though, it would be better... if you found 100 of your friends and told them to come by for 2 minutes, that's all. We need another 100, so that every day we have 10,000 people just stop by for a minute and a half. That's all, and move on from there. You don't even have to like the show. Just, you know, it's like a GoFundMe in reverse. You just, you know, what are you doing? We're just stopping by Drake's show for a minute. That's all. Some days we go a minute and a half. We can't take it past that. So this music, how did you end up liking... I'd never heard of the Smashing.
You never heard of the Smashing Pumpkins?
No.
Oh, I like 90s music. That's when I was growing up. You know, one of my best friends was Smashing Pumpkins addict, so he got me hooked on them.
And it's alternative rock.
Yeah, I guess that sounds about right. Yeah.
But it's very smooth here.
You like
it? Yeah, nice. And the guy's weird. The video's kind of weird.
A little bit.
He's wearing a derby and he has a look like he was in the sauna in the Jeju Island and someone saw the Grand Josen or one or the other. It is past 12 o'clock, which is not unusual. We always go over. And I probably messed up the podcast by not ending it exactly the way it's supposed to end. So the people that listen to the podcast later are going to be going, why is he doing all the talking? I wanted to hear Josh. And they'll understand that it's a problem I've had since my childhood. Yes. I can't write, but Shark and Cheryl's help talk.
Sure can.
Join us tomorrow. There's no guest tomorrow. That means I'll be talking even more. Wednesday, Mac Francis joined us, and we'll fill him. We didn't plan on having guests this week.
No, we didn't.
You're supposed to say
Josh
what?
Josh was just in town, yes. So we figured we'd take advantage.
Yes. He got a surf and turf dinner and got stuck sitting in the chair. That's pretty much how that.
I do have my penguin shirt on today. I didn't have it on Saturday.
Well,
I didn't know everyone was going to wear a hockey shirt.
It's the beginning. Maybe you know from the Bible. When the earth was born, what was it called?
Genesis when it was born.
Well, this is what this is. This is Genesis. Have you seen Phil Collins? Damn near dead. Can't drum anymore. His wife took all his money. Why am I saying this stuff? It's time to go to lunch. Have a great day, everybody. It'll be on again later on this afternoon. If you want to catch the beginning of the show, check it out on Live 365. It'll be on there, and you can check out Live 365. 65 because we have music there, and if you stop by there, I might make money someday. But it doesn't matter really. Scott's gonna buy lunch. It's all good. I'm buying. Have a great day. Thank you, Donnie.
Thank you, Tom.
Josh. Thank you. You're very generous.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Always generous with your time. We're gonna leave here with the Smashing Pumpkins. This is a song called "Tonight, Tonight, Tomorrow, the Next Day, the Day After That."